Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. This time following the Alabama Crimson Tide's 42-16 win over the Bulls of South Florida, those pesky, trouble-causing Bulls of South Florida, right? Wasn't going to be the same type of finish that we saw in Tampa a year ago, but there it was, one score game midway through the fourth quarter on the night that the playing surface at Bryant-Denny Stadium was officially dedicated to former head coach Nick Saban. But Alabama with an offensive outburst there in the final 7 minutes or so to put away USF. It's a 42-16 win. It didn't necessarily, it was skewed, let's be honest, in terms of the final score in comparison to how that game played out, and give South Florida a lot of credit. I know we're going to talk a lot here live on Ryer on YouTube about what Alabama didn't do so well. And there's certainly a lengthy list and plenty for Kalen DeBoer and his team to clean up in advance of next week's trip to Madison, Wisconsin, to take on the Badgers of Wisconsin. But credit first and foremost to South Florida. Alex Golish doing a nice job down there. He got that situation turned around pretty quickly just in year two. He's kind of got his quarterback and Byron Brown and Naquan Wright coming in from Florida as a transfer running back. You know, we talked about this yesterday on the channel and some of our predictions that we did and kind of anticipating how this thing might go as far as the USF offense and throwing the football. It was pretty much a lot like last year's game. Byron Brown struggles to throw the football accurately. He completed just 15 to 35 passes in this one for 103 yards, but he did rush for more than 100 yards. And between them, Wright and Brown, after rushing for a combined 154 in Tampa a year ago against the Crimson Tide, they go for 172 combined. So again, credit to the visitors on keeping this thing very, very interesting. Of course, Alabama had more than a little bit to do with that. Is it time to panic? Are you panicking in week two if you're an Alabama fan? I wouldn't necessarily suggest that's the route to go. Still a lot of football to play. Still a lot to learn about this team. I think we learned some things about it in this game Saturday night. Some of them not so positive, and others, I think, pretty positive. And again, the finish to the game last week with all the explosive plays, I know some Alabama fans were questioning, well, when it comes down to it, will this offense be able to finish a game on that side of the ball? And they did that. They did that Saturday night. It seemed to really start, whether it was coincidence or Elijah Pritchett having his Willis Reed game. If you're an old head, you know I'm talking about with Willis Reed. If you're younger, maybe the Jordan Flu game, you know, those type of situations. But it sparked the situation there. I think, you know, give Alabama credit, hanging in there, ran the football finally in the fourth quarter at an effective clip. I think Alabama ran for just south of 200 yards in the game, and nearly 40 of those yards came in like the last 7 minutes or so, it seemed anyway. So interesting stuff in this one. Alabama does get the victory. Again, plenty to work on in the coming days, and even heading into that bye week after Wisconsin coming up, because we know what awaits this team down the road. Now, we just listened in on Kalen DeBoer's post-game press conference. By the way, if you want to jump in on board here in the show chat, in the comments, we're wide open to it. Your thoughts, your questions, your comments, we'll try to do our best to get to those. But Kalen DeBoer asked specifically, as you might guess, about that offensive line. And look, it wasn't a great night for the offensive line. It certainly was not a great night for the first-year starter and Wilkin Formby at the right tackle position, to the extent that we did eventually see Elijah Pritchett check into the game midway through the fourth quarter at that right tackle spot. But there were plenty of other issues too. Penalties across the board, 13 penalties. That's not going to be sustainable once you get into the deeper end of the pool. South Florida, quality team, no doubt about it. But we all know there are much bigger obstacles to come. And 13 penalties for 120 yards, you're just probably not going to be able to sustain that against top 10-ish, top 15 type of competition. So that obviously was a problem. The offensive line had its issues, especially when it came to the penalties. But Kalen was asked about the offensive line, and he said he felt like it was the best situation going into this game, more so, I think, for the big picture, because Elijah Pritchett was apparently slightly dinged in the season opener against Western Kentucky. So that apparently limited his practice time through the week. They did, however, feel like he could go tonight. Obviously they did, because they installed him into the game there in the fourth quarter, but wanted to try to get through the game. It's that fine line that coaches walk, right? You're trying to be respectful of an opponent like South Florida, because what did happen can happen. At the same time, you're thinking that you could potentially have 13 plus games left on your schedule. Potentially it's a long season. So you try to do some things to maybe get you through the short term. And you're not thinking, I'm guessing, that, look, Wilkin Formby is going to be the guy that has the problem. You're going into this game thinking Wilkin's going to be solid at right tackle. We're going to kick Tyler Booker from left guard to left tackle. We're going to come with Geno Vandermark at left guard. If anything, I would think the concern going into this game was more along the lines of, do we screw with the chemistry? Do we screw with one of our true strengths, which is the interior of that offensive line, and specifically that guard tandem of Tyler Booker and Jaden Roberts? And probably in retrospect, in some ways, Alabama was weakened by the shuffling. But again, there's things that you just don't anticipate. And I am almost 100% certain that Chris Kapilovic and Kalen DeBoer and Nick Sheridan did not anticipate the type of evening that Wilkin Formby had. And this isn't to just sort of say that Wilkin Formby's done as a second-year player. He's a young guy. And in today's college football, at a developmental position especially, there are guys that 6-7 years ago weren't put into the situation Wilkin Formby's in right now till maybe year three. Well, a lot of that's been pushed up a year now. Now that year three guy, maybe like a Drew Davis in the past or a Matt Womack, those kind of guys, it's been pushed up to year two. And I still think Wilkin's going to be a really good player. And I say that because Wilkin Formby strikes me as a guy that has no problem looking in the mirror after a performance like tonight and saying, very honestly, I got a lot to work on. And from there, he will do what he needs to do. Was it good to see Elijah Pritchett come off the bench and perform at a winning level? Sure. I thought Alabama perhaps maybe was a little more committed to the run game with Pritchett in there. But look, it all came together. All's well that ends well for now. But it was a whistling past the graveyard sort of feel to it, wasn't it? With about 7 minutes to go, Alex Golish with the interesting decision to kick the field goal there in a 21-13 game. You run the ball on third down from inside the Alabama 10 only to kick the short field goal. Give the Alabama defense some credit too. Gave up some rushing yards, no doubt about that. But didn't give up the two-way stuff to Byron Brown. And red zone. Typically if you force three or more red zone field goals, you're probably going to be in pretty good shape when it's all said and done. That was the Alabama defense and just had to overcome so much. Everything you could do to put yourself in peril on your home field against a 31-point underdog, Alabama did it Saturday night and still managed to win the game ultimately by, 26? Yeah, something like that. The math is so bad, guys, especially this late at night for an old man. But the turnovers, and not just turnovers, but just bizarre turnovers. The exchange issue down inside the five, with Jalen and Kendrick Law in motion, and seemed like confusion before that snap, and you don't really go under center all that much. Looked like Jalen maybe got in a hurry a little bit trying to get the ball or fake the ball to Kendrick. And again, those are the type of turnovers and situations that typically come about in losses. So Alabama very fortunate to survive some of those. The Kendrick Law return that goes for a turnover. Jam Miller doesn't typically put the ball on the ground. He does that. Again, catastrophic, some of these situations, but it goes back to some of it too. I think your culture can help you survive sometimes, help you overcome. Because I watched some games earlier in the day, like Arkansas and Oklahoma State. And I thought Arkansas thoroughly outplayed Oklahoma State for most of that game before losing in double overtime. But it just feels like the environment, the culture, the vibe, whatever around that program has reached a point where if you make two or three critical mistakes like Arkansas did earlier today, teams like Arkansas don't overcome it. They lose. But Alabama able to get it done on Saturday night. So what we're going to do is we will also we'll pull up some of the stats here from the stat broadcast and kind of go through some of that with you as well. Some of the good, some of the not so good, and well, some of the just downright ugly. How about that? There you go. There we've got the stat broadcast stats up there. And again, you look at it from the Alabama offensive perspective, Jalen 17 of 27, 199, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Looks pretty good for a stat line, but uneven. And again, some of that went back to protection. Some of it went to sometimes it seemed like there just wasn't an answer for what USF was bringing, especially in the pressures. I know some people responded to me on Twitter or texted me about the screen game and the quick game and those things. But, you know, I think some of that could go back to your offensive line situation too, because that is so orchestrated in the screen game. It's not just, you know, work between your quarterback and your running backs in the screen game. I mean, that's obviously got to be really repped up and coordinated extremely well with your offensive line. We didn't see as much in the way of pulling, especially early in the game, with Vandermark in there at that left guard position and Tyler Booker at left tackle. Saw more of it maybe in the second half, but you just continuously shot yourself in the foot. I mean, you look at a couple of the holding penalties, and Alabama was flagged for holding five times in the game. Just on two of those alone, Alabama lost nearly 100 rushing yards. Just on two of them, one of them being Jalen's 74-yard touchdown run. And I know, look, ticky-tack, I'll say this for Wilkin. I thought he was hit with one flag and pass protection at one point where you essentially had a USF defender who was face-planting on his own. It wasn't really anything to do with Wilkin pulling him down. It may in real time and in real speed look that way to the official, but it really wasn't that. But, you know, I thought Alabama benefited from at least one hold too, right? An explosive play. I think it was a 44-yard run by South Florida, and it was a very similar type of situation as to what Wilkin had on Jalen's long touchdown run that went for naught. Kind of got that hand across the jersey a little bit, and you get out on the edge or in space like that as an offensive lineman, and the refs see that in real time, and you can almost guarantee that the flag is coming. But from a rushing perspective, again, after the fourth quarter is taken into account, the numbers look good. Jam, 15 carries, 140 and a touchdown in the fourth. Justice, 12 carries, 41 yards, maybe not quite the yards per carry, but he did have the touchdown run of his own there in the fourth quarter to help put the game away. Receiving-wise, Ryan Williams with another touchdown catch, and that was huge. That was a 21-16 game at that point. I mean, it's still very competitive there in the fourth quarter, and he shows you once again that he can do it after the catch. Jeremy Bernard, I thought, from the outset of this game, more involved. Talked about that on the three prediction show yesterday here on the channel. Wanted to see perhaps Bernard get involved, targeted a little bit more, and especially early in the game. We did see that, Kobe Prentice with a touchdown catch, big touchdown catch for Kobe, two catches, 34 yards. CJ Dupree with another catch against South Florida. He was Alabama's leading receiver against South Florida last year. That kind of tells you about the offensive performance in Tampa. This time, one catch for 12 yards. So you had 10 different receivers catch passes for the Crimson Tide in the game. Now, defensively, I thought one of the big keys for this game was going to be to make be to make Byron Brown throw the football. You know, the one thing you wanted him to do was throw the football, because he is far from a finished product when it comes to throwing with anticipation, accuracy, anything like that. So his numbers sort of reflected that, but he was still able to get his as a runner. I thought Tim Keenan was as good as any interior defensive lineman in the last maybe 4 or 5 years for Alabama on Saturday night. I thought Tim Keenan was that good. He was disruptive. He was a playmaker. He essentially took away the inside run game. So you tried to run counters. You tried to do things that took some time maybe there on the inside. He got pass rush. He pushed the pocket from the inside. Tim Keenan, I can almost guarantee you, when you talk about players of the week for Alabama after this one, I feel pretty good about Tim Keenan on defense. He was outstanding. I thought, you know, linebackers, boy, it was tough to see Justin Jefferson get hit with that targeting penalty there in the fourth quarter, because he had a couple of series in the game, one early and then even the one that he got tossed on, where he was playing at that standard, at that level of linebacker play that you've grown to expect from Alabama players at that position. You know, I thought there were other times where, you know, Jihad Campbell, again, you talk about a guy that seems perfect for what Kane Womack wants to do on defense and the versatility that he brings. It was another big night statistically for Jihad. He had 11 tackles. He had a tackle and a half for a loss. He had what could have been maybe a pick six go through his hands. But Jefferson with 10 tackles. Keenan, for an interior defensive lineman, again, you want to talk about Daron Payne. You want to talk about Quinnen Williams. You want to talk about those guys. This is one of those kind of stat lines for the big man. 9 tackles, 2.5 for loss, 1.5 sacks, and a quarterback hurry. That's a high level for Tim Keenan. Malachi Moore with 7 tackles in the game. Q Robinson with another sack, which was good to see, although it could have something to do with the change and conceptually what Womack's doing in this defense relative to what we saw previously with Nick Saban. But the consistency from that wolf position compared to, say, the Jack, and I understand a lot of that has to do, you were talking about some high draft picks previously. You were talking about Dallas Turner. You were talking about Will Anderson. You know, and maybe Quay Roussel is going to be one of those guys in time, you know, just a second-year player. Q Robinson, as a veteran, still can give you some nice things, especially in the pass rush with his speed. And I love Q on special teams, by the way. He did some good stuff again on coverage for Alabama in the kicking game on Saturday night. Deontay Lawson with 5 tackles. Tim Smith, another defensive lineman, with a nice night in terms of tackles and a couple of quarterback hurries. So Alabama, as much as anything, 2 things in today's football, right? 2 things in today's football. What do you look at? You look at third down and you look at red zone. Forced 3 red zone field goals, and South Florida went 2 for 18 on third down. And when you push it to fourth down, it went to 2 for 20 because South Florida was 0 for 2. Now, I know for some Alabama fans at times it has a little bit too much of a feel of a bend but don't break. But there were still some pretty good negative play production. It wasn't dynamic. It was 7 tackles for loss and 4 sacks. You know, the problem for Alabama was that offensively is that it was turning the ball over and in the kicking game, and then also giving up negative plays. Some of that goes on the offensive line. Some of it, I think you can look to the brain trust and ask what kind of week did this team have in terms of preparation, and then understanding there was some shuffling on that offensive line, but it can be tough. And I thought Jalen, again, just in red zone situations, to me, it's been good for the most part. There is an indication that Kalen DeBoer and Nick Sheridan very much want to involve him in that part of the run game at that part of the field. And we saw some of it, maybe not as early in some possessions as maybe some folks would like on Saturday night. But again, this is an offense in which, you know, Jalen with his legs, and especially in the red zone, I mean, he has a chance to be a 15 plus touchdown guy, rushing touchdown, because he had two more tonight. You know, we're just two games into the season. So, you know, for Alabama with special teams, I thought there were some positives there. It was a negative to see Cole Adams go out like he did. It was a big third down catch he had, by the way. It was third and four, and he catches it for five down inside the 10, and looks like he lands awkwardly on that arm, and maybe that elbow comes into question. But give Jalen Mbakwe credit, man. He comes off the bench, and he has a punt return for 28 yards. James Burnup, I thought, was better early in the game punting the football. He punted seven times, averaged nearly 43 a punt, had a long of 50. He had three of 50-plus. It just seemed like maybe he was a little bit better early in the game than he was as the game wore on. But the turnover on special teams, turnover down on the goal line, turnover by, you know, Jam Miller, after it looks like he's got a nice positive pickup to go along with, what, 13 penalties, and you still win 42-16. I'm not trying to tell you everything's great, because it's not. This team still has a long way to go. But the point is, there's still a long way to go, too. It's week two, and every week is different. Every week is different. Every matchup is different. How many times have we seen this team, just with Georgia on the horizon alone, not play up to the standard that the fan base is used to, and then the next week beat Georgia? Saw it just last year. They needed the 4th and 31 to beat a bad Auburn team. And then the next week, you beat a team with the longest win streak and the two-time defending national champion in the Georgia Bulldogs. So I think in some ways the Wisconsin matchup should be better for Alabama, but the opponent for Alabama right now is Alabama, right? I mean, we can talk about Wisconsin. We can talk about Georgia in a couple, 3 weeks. The opponent for Alabama going into even this next week of Wisconsin prep is Alabama. So let's get to some comments. And by the way, appreciate you being here late night with us. Always appreciate you. And if you haven't already, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. You probably see it right there. If you haven't subscribed to the channel as of yet, hit the subscribe button for us. Hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to all the content as it drops here on the channel. We're going to have Chase Goodbread coming on here in the next night or so with Talking Tide. You know, we're going to have continuous coverage for you, SEC, Alabama, NFL, all kinds of stuff. But do those things for us. And if you don't mind, a thumbs up would help us out tremendously as well. So as we get into some of the questions and comments, David Pyle says he's not panicking as long as the O-line gets right. And that's something else we heard from Kalen tonight post-game that I thought was encouraging. He said that we, as in the coaching staff, thinks that the offensive line is going to be in a lot better spot going into this next week, which I took to mean that that's probably a good sign, even perhaps where it relates to Caden Proctor. So if you get Caden Proctor back at left tackle and you're able to take Tyler Booker and put him back at left guard, and you still have a competitive situation at right tackle with Wilkin and Elijah Pritchett, then I think you are back to feeling a little bit better. See Jordan Howard here in the comments. Looking past all the hype, is Ryan the best receiver on this team? I would say yes, as of right now. And that's not to discount some guys. I think, and I've said this in the last whatever, he's their true X-type, outside guy, legit dynamic guy. That's not to say Jeremy Bernard isn't fast. That's not to say Kendrick Law isn't fast. Hell, look how fast Kendrick was moving on the fumble he had on the kickoff. It was almost like he was moving too fast. he was moving so fast, he didn't even have time to protect the football the way he needed to on that return. There is speed, but then there are guys that just incorporate all of those things and are elite number ones. And Ryan Williams is, without question, if this team has a number one receiver, and I don't think that necessarily means or has to mean that at the end of the year, he leads the team in receptions or receiving yards, although I won't be surprised if he does both those things, because even beyond the plays he made tonight catching the football, think about the offensive PIs this guy is going to rack up. If you're going to keep trying to play man coverage on this dude, especially with the way, whatever you think about Jalen in terms of finding his hots or checking the ball down or getting underneath or those type of things, one thing Jalen will do is give Ryan Williams every chance on these deep balls. And you saw it again a couple times tonight. I didn't think Sal Florida did a bad job on Ryan Williams. And he still made him pay. Absolutely. Absolutely made him pay. So here we go. Formby complaints. The Man Cave Report. Formby gets benched. We get 28 straight points, no penalties. Formby is on the Greyhound. I'm not going there yet with Wilkin. I think Wilkin, again, as I said earlier in the show, Wilkin strikes me as the type of individual who's going to take the coaching and take the criticism and take the tape because it does not lie. And I think, you know, I think the coaching staff has to take some accountability too, because I think Wilkin Formby is a guy who takes preparation seriously. And some of what we saw tonight made me wonder, was there just not any tape of this? I mean, I know South Florida last week played Bethune-Cookman, so South Florida wasn't going to just put it all out there. And I think to an extent tonight, Alabama was still trying to hold back some things because, again, screen game, where were some of these different elements of the offense? Some of that, I do think, had to do with the shuffling of the offensive line because, no offense to Geno Vandermark, I think he certainly has value, but you are going to be more limited with him in there at left guard than you are going to be when you have Tyler Booker in there to go along with Jaden Roberts. Jonathan getting on me here. He says we need more content during the week. I'm going to work on it, Jonathan. Appreciate the kind words, actually. Thank you very much. We will certainly work on that. Ken Washington checking in here in the comments. Jalen has to stop living on the long ball. He has checkdowns to put us in better down and distance situations. You know, it's not just a Jalen thing, though, with a lot of these quarterbacks. A lot of these quarterbacks do not like to check the football down. Now, there's not liking to do it, and there's do you just not get to it? You know, that's where I'm still not totally sure. You know, Bryce Young didn't like checkdowns. Everybody talks about Bryce Young like he just, every time he needed to get to a checkdown, got to a checkdown. Bryce would extend plays because he hated checkdowns. There were a lot of checkdowns Bryce could get to. I think Bryce is figuring out in the NFL, he better get to his checkdowns now. But in college, Bryce would extend plays to try to continue to work the ball up the field. So, look, I'm not saying it's still something that won't be a part of Jalen's game. I'm just saying that at this point in his development and kind of in terms of what his preference is and what his strengths are too, I'm not anticipating one week that suddenly he starts checking it down like Kirk Cousins or something. You know, I just don't. He's not Kirk Cousins, and that's okay. You know, you can win in other ways with Jalen Milroe. You did it last year. You beat the best team in college football last year with Jalen Milroe. Other stuff here in the comments. There's still more comments about Jalen and his lack of improvement. I don't know. I don't, you know, here's the point, though, with this comment, is that Jalen cost Alabama the Texas game last year and then the Michigan game. But I do think there was improvement, for sure, from Texas to Michigan. I do believe that. Did he play his best game against Michigan? No. But to say that there wasn't improvement between Texas and Georgia in the SEC championship game, obviously there was. There was improvement, too, in terms of how to use Jalen Milroe last year by Tommy Rees. And I anticipate that being the case as we move along here with Kalen DeBoer and Nick Sheridan. Nathan, 1844 here in the comments. Bama wasn't ready to play, and play calling didn't help. No adjustments to blitzing, poor performance all around. If USF had quarterback with accuracy, we would have been in trouble. Nathan, I don't think you're too far off on all that. Said this earlier. I think there's enough of the crap sandwich to feed everybody after that one. I mean, you can put it all on the players if you want, but I get the sense that Kalen DeBoer is the kind of guy that when he goes into that staff meeting tomorrow, first thing in the morning, or maybe even later tonight, he's going to have more questions about what did we do last week than he is, man, these players, you know, he doesn't strike me as that kind of dude. Who else do we have here? Let's see. Byron Harp, Byron Hare checking in here. Bama fans just aren't used to Kane Womack's defense. Saban's defense kept everything in front of you, so less quarterback runs down the middle. I thought Alabama, actually, Byron, tonight on the interior wasn't that bad. I still worry. What I did know about Nick Saban's defenses is that the physicality on the perimeter wasn't just going to be limited to the tackle box or between the hash marks. You weren't going to play corner or star for Nick Saban if you couldn't set an edge. And I still have concerns about that for Alabama. You know, losing leverage on some of this stuff on the perimeter. You know, the first two teams Alabama has seen so far this season, first play of the game has been immediately quick game to the perimeter. So I have more concerns about that than I do the interior. Sure, there's some noticeable differences between Kane's defense and Nick's, but I didn't think that the defense was atrocious, especially for the situations it was put in. I mean, the sudden changes just in what, the third quarter alone? And the throw up all over yourself on the goal line? I think the defense did benefit too by a pretty big holding penalty. But they're still figuring some things out over there for sure. Tex Titer, our guy, checking in here late night on Ryer on YouTube. Again, if you haven't subscribed to the channel, go ahead and hit that subscribe button for us right now. Turn on those notifications. You'll be alerted to all of our content as it drops. Also, a thumbs up if you could help us out. A like, we would appreciate that as well. Tex Titer asking, did you catch the Ryan Williams quick change of hands with the ball, then the stiff arm? Yeah, I mean, the polish for this dude, man, as a guy who can't buy cigarettes at this point. I guess he can't buy a lotto ticket. I mean, he can't buy one in Alabama anyway. But, it's pretty damn astounding. I mean, the physical attribute, the physical talent is there. But to do what he's doing at this point in terms of being a 17-year-old, he's not that physically advanced that he could be doing what he's doing unless he had some intangible things or just a work ethic, just some intuitive things. Like, there's some dudes, you can work with them on what you're talking about, Tex, getting the ball and changing hands, getting the ball to the sideline. They never get it. They never get it. And then there's some guys, it's just like, this is what I'm supposed to do. And he is definitely one of those guys. There's no doubt about it. Unknown Damone with some trivia here. Just an FYI, the Cal D coordinator's daughter, Peter Sermons, is a Bama cheerleader. Double smack to the Bugs. Boy, that's the thing, folks. Look around college football today. Did Notre Dame lose to a better team than South Florida and South Bend today? Notre Dame got Michael the Burner Turner by the Huskies. Not of Washington either. Of Northern Illinois. The real ones were in Bryant Denny all those years ago when the Crimson Tide got Michael the Burner Turner. You know what I'm talking about. So Unknown Damone. I don't know. I haven't been able to check this, but I trust Unknown Damone. I mean, he's my ticket broker. He's my ticket guy. How could I not trust Unknown Damone? But seriously, I mean, ask Auburn about, you know, going to beat up on a relegated, didn't get an invite to the Big Ten, Cal Bears. Cal Bears look like the 85 Bears in Jordan-Hare today, didn't they? Boy, that Auburn situation. I may have to apologize to some Oklahoma fans because I really thought Oklahoma was going to have a problem in Jordan-Hare in a couple weeks. Maybe not. I mean, oof, that was rough. Yeah, I think the 12 teams for the playoff after today, more and more, I think that's enough. What about Kentucky at home getting thundered by South Carolina? I mean, South Carolina got drugged to the limit by ODU last week. Things can change, man. Every week is different. Every week is different. So, look, it's a win. And one thing you can say as an Alabama fan is the first time, I guess, in a couple of years, you're 2-0, right? Couldn't say that last year. Okay, I know. Texas, a little different deal. You got a chance to be, yeah, you're 2-0. Texas, a little bit different deal than the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky. Boy, Texas looked good today, didn't they? Up there in the Big House. Oof. Sark got in that bag early. Ewers, I still had some lingering questions about that guy, but ooh, he looked like a real pro in taking apart the Wolverines up there. I know it was tough because Isaiah Bond making some plays, but hey, look, you got Ryan Williams now doing his thing. And that, I think those receivers for Alabama, there's still a lot of upside there, you know? I think Jeremy Bernard's going to be fine. Kobe Prentice, when you ask him to, it seems like when you ask Kobe Prentice to come up and make a play for you, he makes a play for you. Is he a guy that I necessarily want out there on the perimeter blocking? No, I'd rather have Emmanuel Henderson in that circumstance. But you take the win is the point, and you get ready for the trip to Camp Randall next week. And, again, as we heard from Kalen DeBoer postgame, sounds like a better situation for this Alabama offensive line is on the immediate horizon. You're probably going to need that. You're going up there with experience at some key positions. It's a style of play from Wisconsin that, you know, you should be pretty comfortable dealing with, to be honest with you. You're not going to, put it this way, you're not going to have Byron Brown running around and Tyler Van Dyke next week for whiskey for the Badgers. So some things to consider, and we'll certainly be filling you in as best we can on the Alabama Crimson Tide, the SEC, a whole plethora of topics here on Ryer on YouTube. Really appreciate you folks for staying up late and joining the old man here. It's always a lot of fun. You're very much appreciated. And again, if you haven't subscribed to our channel, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Turn on those notifications. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops. And if you'd hit us with a thumbs up, a like, we would appreciate that as well. Coming up here very soon, be joined by my good pal, Chase Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News for some Talking Tide. We will do some second watch if you can stand it. Hey, there was still a lot of good stuff to come out of this game. We'll get into some of that here in the next day or so on Ryer on YouTube as well. Until then, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again. And until next time, so long, everybody.